All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And once you find your place there, let's look at verses 4 through 9 for our text tonight as we continue on in this walk through the book of 1 Corinthians tonight. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you bless your word tonight and the preaching of it? Father, encourage and teach and challenge and strengthen. And Father, just lift up your people tonight in the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul here is again taking up the matter of this party spirit and divisions among the church at Corinth. And prior to this, last week we read these verses 1 through 3. Paul is talking about how carnal and immature these Corinthian believers had been acting, as demonstrated by the divisions that were among them. And he said in these verses that they walk as men, they're walking fleshly. They're controlled by their feelings, they're controlled by their flesh, they're carnal Christians. And it's evident by the fact, verse 3, he says, "For ye are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And so the evidence of their carnality was the fact that they still had these divisions. There was envying, there was strife, there was jealousy, there was quarreling going on amongst the people. And it was showing how immature these Corinthian believers actually were. And divisions, whether it's with family members, whether it's between church members, you know, whatever, between friends, divisions can only occur where there is selfishness present. And which is, selfishness is fleshly. Selfishness is immature. And it's fleshly and immature people who only cooperate with those leaders or fellow believers with whom they happen to agree or who personally appeal to them. You know, I'm not going to listen, I'm not going to do because that person, you know, I don't necessarily like them or their personality. I don't necessarily agree with them. I agree with myself. And they'll cooperate, but only with those that they agree with or that appeal to them. And factions can't help but result when this kind of spirit is going on. And this is what was happening in the church. And factions can't help result where there is jealousy, where there is strife, or any other form of carnality. And Paul is addressing this issue of the divisions and the party spirit. Some say, "I'm of Paul." Some say, "I'm of Apollos." And when a congregation develops loyalties around individuals, it's a sure symptom of spiritual immaturity and trouble. It was sinful for factions to develop around Paul or Apollos, and it's sinful for divisive factions to develop around any leader in a church today. Paul said that these people were walking as men. It's just another way of saying that they were thinking and behaving in a fleshly way. They were carnal. So, what's the cure for that? What's the cure for this kind of thinking? Well, the cure for division is really to turn away from self, because selfishness was at the core of all of this, is to turn away from self and set the eyes upon the Lord where they should be. That's really the answer. And when our attention, folks, is solely focused on the Lord as it should be, there's not any time or occasion for division because we're unified in Christ. And when our attention is on Him, listen, it can't be on ourselves. Amen? That applies, that principle applies in all kinds of things. You know, the woe is me attitude, the woe is me spirit. Oh, woe is me, this is going wrong, that's going wrong. Where's the attention? Where's the focus? All on self. But when our attention is on the Lord, it can't possibly be on us. And when attention is always on self, it's evidence of childishness and immaturity. Well, the childish condition of this Corinthian church was shown in their party division or spirit. And these people gloried more in the leaders after whom their faction was called than they did in Christ. And so to correct this way of thinking, the Apostle Paul, in these verses that we've read here tonight, presents for us the right view of spiritual leaders and their work. And tonight we're going to consider the cure for a party spirit. The cure for a party spirit. Paul gives us in these verses and presents to this church what should be the right view. Because remember, these people were, some were of Paul, some were of Apollos, some were after Peter. Paul gives the right view of spiritual leaders and their work. First of all, I want you to note with me, number one, the first thing is in verse 5. Verse 5, Paul says, "Who then is Paul?" So the context here is verse 4. "While one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" So that's the context. But then Paul says, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" The first principle here is that ministers are God's servants, not party leaders. Ministers are God's servants, not party leaders. The word minister here is actually the Greek word diakonos, where we get the word deacon from. And it means, listen, it means an attendant in menial duties. It means a waiter, and it means a servant. Now, who is Paul talking about here? He's talking about himself, isn't he? He's talking about Apollos, and he says there in verse 5, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers, servants, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Paul says, we're simply servants through whom you believed. We are the instruments, not the source of salvation. Your attention should not be on us. It should be on the Lord. We're simply the instruments. This is why he said in chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, is Christ divided? He said, was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? He says, we're the instruments, not the source of salvation. And listen, the same was true for Apollos. The same was true for Peter, of course. And it's true for all other ministers of the Lord over all periods of time. Listen, all saints of God, even those who the Lord chooses to use so mightily, like the Apostle Paul, are simply servants and ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me here? Sometimes the world tries to elevate or immortalize men because man is basically the highest that the world knows. But the saints of God, listen, we know the King of Kings. We know the Lord of Lords. We know the Creator of the universe. Man is nothing. When it compares to God, man is nothing. And Paul says, hey, look, the people that you are putting so much attention on and glorying in, we're only servants. We're ministers. And it shows how immature and carnal that you are, that your loyalties are being divided and gathering around a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word minister here, diakonos, was a word that was often used for a table waiter or what we would call a busboy. And so in effect, Paul is saying that Apollos and I, we're simply waiters that the Lord has chosen to use to bring you food. Your honor and your glory, it's misplaced. And it needs to be on Christ. The world, like I said, tries to honor and immortalize great men because, hey, man is the highest thing that it knows. But listen, when we know the King of Kings and we know the Creator of the universe, we also should know that He alone is worthy of our honor. We're simply His servants. We're simply His instruments. You know, if an artist was going to be honored for his famous works, men don't make statues of his paintbrush or his palette to honor him. And the thought is, listen, it makes even less sense for saints of God to glorify men instead of Christ, who are simply the instruments, not the work, not the source of the work. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 do teach that ministers are to be loved and to be highly esteemed for their work, but they're not to be revered. And they certainly shouldn't be set against each other as servants of the Lord when they're on the same team. But that's what this church was doing. And the fact was that Paul said that we're servants. We're simply the brushes. We're simply the palette of the in the master's hand. We're the instrument. We're the tool. We're the servant. And ministers are servants. They're not masters. Ministers are servants. They're not party leaders. And Paul says you're carnal. And it's evident by the fact that your loyalties are divided here. So who then is Paul? Who is Apollos but ministers by whom you believed? The second principle here is in verses 6 and 7. He says, I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth that giveth the increase. The second principle here is that each minister has his own particular work. You see this? I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We're servants of the Lord. We've got a job to do, but each minister has his own particular work. Each man had his own God-appointed work to do. Paul began the work, he planted. Apollos continued the work, he watered. You know, one is sent to preach the gospel to sinners. Another is sent to edify the brethren and to teach. Another one might be sent to comfort the sorrowful, etc. They all have their own God-appointed work to do. And these people, these men of God, these servants, did their work very well. They did it faithfully. But listen, the real work was the Lord's. He gave the increase. What that means here is that it means causing to grow. So Paul planted, he's using agricultural terms here. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who caused it to grow. Not even the best farmer in the world can give physical life or growth to a plant. His work of planting, his work of watering, those things are both very, very necessary in the process. But the planting and the watering is not what produces life, right? How much less can a servant, even the Apostle Paul, give spiritual life or growth to a person? And you know, the most a servant can do, the most a minister can do is plant a seed or water it. The increase or the growth is up to God. And this is a great truth to remember, because we are not to be manufacturers, are we? Or to be sowers, or to be planters. We can be waterers, but we cannot manufacture the result or growth. Verse 7 here, note verse 7. So he says, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He simply says the human instrument is not anything at all except for a tool. Neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth. A tool. All the honor for the accomplishment goes to the Lord. Now, Paul only mentions two types of ministry here, represented by planting and watering. There's all kinds of ministry, but the principle that he's talking about still applies to all areas of ministry and all areas of service. If God has given us a job to do, then that is the most important job that there is, the very one he's given you to do, because each one has his own particular work. Sometimes men look at some ministries as more glamorous or more important than others. But the fact is, all of the Lord's work is important, and each one has his job to do. And if God has given you a specific job to do, that's the most important job. When we look at work and ministry as some more glamorous than others, it might just be that we're not really realizing that all of God's work is important and God has given me a job to do. Verse 8, notice this with me here. Paul then says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Here's the third principle here tonight. Not only is that each minister simply a servant, and each minister has his own particular work to do, but then Paul says that each minister has his own particular reward. Now remember, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth here, and he's trying to correct this idea of this party spirit. He's trying to correct their thinking and their carnality, and he's giving the right view of what the servants of the Lord are, what the ministers of God are. And he says that each one is simply a servant of God, just an instrument, just a tool. Each one has his own job to do, but it's actually the Lord's work and not our work. But then he says, each minister has his own particular reward. Verse 8, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." He says there that he that planteth and he that watereth are one. What does that mean? Well, he's simply saying that we are all one in as much as we're all servants of the same Lord. And we're all engaged about the same work. It's the Lord's work, not our own. He's essentially saying, look, we're all on the same team here. We're all serving the same Lord. We're all involved in the same work, His work. And Paul says, so, because of that, because we're one and because we're all on the same team, we shouldn't be set against each other as rivals. You notice that? This is what the church was doing. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter. And it was the people in their carnality who was setting the leadership one against another. But Paul says, look, we're all one. We're on the same team. We're serving the same Lord. We're engaged in the Lord's work. So we shouldn't be set against each other as rivals. And listen, here's the application. It's recognition of our oneness in Christ that is the remedy for division. There can't be and won't be division if there's a recognition of the fact that we are one in Jesus Christ. It leaves no place for the flesh then. And when there's a place for the flesh, that leaves room for the jealousy. See. And what was the issue here? There was jealousy and there was quarreling going on. And envy and strife. Jealousy and quarreling. Why? Because there was room for the flesh, and then in the flesh, and oh, some ministry is more important than others, and wanting recognition, or the man that I follow. Understand what I'm saying? Well, when we understand we're one in Christ, it leaves no place for the flesh with its jealousy and with its strife. But then he says, so that's the first part of verse 8. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. Then he says, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. What Paul is saying here is that God does not fail to recognize the faithful work of his servants. Each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We all have our own work to do. We're all on the same team. We're all serving the same Lord. It's really His work. And guess what? God's not going to fail to recognize the faithful work of His servants, and each one is going to be rewarded according to his own labor. Now notice this, that God rewards on the basis of labor and not success or results. You see that? He's going to reward each man according to his own labor. It's not according to the fruit. It's not according to the result of our labor, but simply according to the measure of our labor. That's the reward from the Lord. And listen, understand this. This is an encouraging truth, saint of God. Because, you know, a missionary could serve on the field for 40 years, and he could have a handful of converts. Versus a man who serves far less time on the field but has so many more converts. Is his reward based on the result? No, that's man's thinking. The reward is based on the labor, on his own labor and the work that God has for him to do. Listen, the measure of results, that's not God's measurement. In fact, there's a good example in the Scriptures. God gave Jeremiah a job. His job was to go proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord," to the nation of Israel. But before he went, God said to Jeremiah, he said, "I want you to understand something. They're not going to listen to you. You're going to go and preach, and you're going to give this message, but they're not going to listen. And they're going to be hard-hearted, they're going to be stubborn, they're going to persecute you, but I'm going to give you a forehead like flint, as hard as rock. So you just keep on pounding away and do what I tell you to do." On the other hand, and that was a long ministry. Jeremiah had a long, unique ministry. On the other hand, there's a guy named Jonah who God said, "Go to Nineveh." And he said, "I don't want to go." And then he finally said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to go," after he experienced the problem. But what did he do? He went and preached, "Thus saith the Lord," and in one very, very short campaign, an entire city was converted to Jesus Christ. Oh, Jonah should have so much more reward than Jeremiah. But Paul says, no, that's not God's measurement. He said each man, everyone is going to receive the reward according to his own labor. God rewards on the basis of labor and not success or results. And that is so encouraging, because often men compare themselves amongst themselves, and churches compare themselves amongst themselves and other churches and so on. And we don't see a harvest. Oh man, they're seeing so many souls saved. Hey, listen. That is a mistake, to start comparing amongst ourselves. What we need to be doing is trusting the Lord with our eyes on the Lord and just continue to labor in the field that God has given us to labor in. Amen? And leave the increase to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. God rewards on the basis of labor, not, quote, success or results. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 9, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." Paul said, "I'm not worthy, but I labored, and I labored more abundantly than they all." And his point was it doesn't really matter whether it's I'm preaching or whether you're preaching. Christ is preached, and people believe, and people are saved. I'm just going to be faithful in my labor for the Lord. It's appropriate that God's faithful servants be appreciated and encouraged while they're here on the earth, but they should not be glorified. They shouldn't be set apart. They shouldn't be set up on a pedestal. They shouldn't be made the center of a movement. You see that all across, Baptist circles. men being lifted up and being the center of a movement. We're simply servants of God. And the point is, and the principle is, just stay faithful, my friend. Stay faithful in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord's keeping record, and He'll reward according to every man's own labor. Stay faithful and leave the increase to God. Amen. Look with me at verse 9. This is the last principle here tonight. Back in chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." The fourth principle here that Paul gives to help these people see what a minister really is he says that ministers are actually God's fellow laborers. Isn't this a great truth? Ministers are God's fellow laborers. Look at verse 9. He says, "For we are laborers together with God." Paul said, listen, we are not just servants for the Lord or servants of the Lord, but we are laborers with the Lord. How did he start? Look at verse 5 again. He said, "Who then is Paul or who is Apollos, but ministers, servants, by whom ye believed?" We're servants of the Lord. We're simply instruments. But then he finishes up and says, not only are we servants for the Lord or of the Lord, but we are laborers together with the Lord. Fellow workers with God. Think of it. Just try to wrap your mind around this for a second. Why do you do what you do? Why are you here? Why do you serve in the ministries you serve in? Is it my ministry? Is it your work? Who are you working for? Who are you working with? Ought to be the question. Amen? Fellow workers with God. Think of this. Listen, it wasn't their own ministry that they were working in, but it was the Lord's ministry. And I think of this, what companionship to have in ministry than working with the Lord. You know, there's a lot of my ministry this and my ministry that amongst preachers. But a proper perspective is that it's His ministry and I get to be a part of it. It was the Lord's church in Corinth, wasn't it? It wasn't Paul's church. It was the Lord's church in Corinth. It wasn't Apollos' church. It wasn't Peter's church. And Paul said, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're just a part of it. And this is what you need to understand, folks. That's what he's saying to these people at Corinth. Your loyalties and your glorying, it's misplaced. It needs to be in Christ because you belong to the Lord. It's not my ministry. Paul says we are laborers together with God. Let me make this application as we conclude here tonight. What a thought is this, that we are laborers together with God. God is pleased to us, the God of eternity, a holy and a righteous and a set-apart God who is all-powerful. He is pleased to associate Himself with us in the great work of His kingdom. Wow! What should that do to our thinking? Well, it should change some things about our thinking. Because so often Christian service is not deemed or looked at as a privilege, but rather a burden. This ought to bring, listen, this understanding of that I am a laborer together with God, it ought to bring dignity to the Christian ministry, to work with God. This is important business that we are involved in. Oh, think of this. Friend, you get to serve in a particular area. What a privilege and an opportunity to bring glory to God with your life. You get to. But so often we look at ministry as a burden instead. Like, oh, I gotta practice again. Hey, why not be practical, right? Oh, we have to have choir practice? Oh, we have to have men's ensemble practice? Oh, we have to do this? I'd rather be out doing whatever. Oh, we've got to go to Great Commission Day again. I hate the last Saturday of every month. Hey, I can't think of a better soul-winning partner than the Lord. Being a labor together with God. Amen? Oh, I got to clean this week. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. We get to be a part of the work of the Lord. What a privilege. What dignity this ought to bring to our Christian service. What a change in our thinking it ought to bring to how we really function. You know, I'm working together with the Lord. You know what? I'm not going to skip the corners when I'm cleaning. I'm working together with the Lord. I'm going to do a good job. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm not going to cut corners because this is serious work. It's dignified because the Lord thinks it's serious. Number two, how inspiring should this be to laborers and workers? It ought to inspire us. Who wouldn't want to work if the Lord was with him, if the Lord was there? What if the Lord was going to show up on Saturday at Great Commission Day? He's going to walk through the doors. He's going to pray with us. He's going to go out with us. What if he was going to do that? Oh, wait. Amen? How inspiring should this be? Like I said, I can't think of a better soul-winning partner on Great Commission Day than the Lord. But he wants to be there. He is there. But thirdly, how sure then does this make our reward? If we are laborers together with God, how sure then does this make our reward? And what I mean by that is if the Lord is there and it's the Lord's work, will God leave his fellow laborers without recompense then? I think not. See, the cure for division and contention amongst these believers in Corinth was simply to get their eyes off of themselves, get their eyes off of men, and get their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and honor him. And Paul says, we're simply servants. But we get to be laborers together with God. We have our own work to do that God has given us to do. But we're all going to have our own reward according to our labor. And the same is true for us. The cure for division, the cure for contention, even the cure for carnality is to get our eyes off of ourselves and get them on the Lord. I think that when there is contention or division amongst God's people today, it's a mark of immaturity, it's a mark of carnality, and the answer is exactly the same. Get your eyes off yourself. Get them back onto the Lord. Isn't it great to be able to serve the Lord? To be a laborer together with God, to have a purpose, to have a work that God has given you to do, specific to bring him glory? I think so. And I would say to you saints of God, stay faithful, keep your eyes on the Lord, be encouraged. God's keeping track. He's keeping record. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you'd always remind us what we are, simply servants of the Most High God. But Father, thank you that you consider us and you're not ashamed to be associated with us in the great work of God, and you've made us co-laborers together with God. Father, we also thank you that the work belongs to you. The results belong to you. Father, it's you that gives the increase. And I pray that we'd not be discouraged in the work of the Lord. Sometimes, as men, we want to see the Lord glorified. We want to see people saved. We want to see a harvest of souls, and we pray for those things. And there's nothing wrong with praying for those things. because we desire that you get glory. But Father, may we not look at the work of the Lord in terms of results. But Father, look at this work as a matter of just being obedient and being faithful and leaving the growth to you. Thank you that you've given us a place to serve, a way for us to bring glory to the name of the Lord through our lives. Lord, I pray that you bless the ministries of Black Road Baptist Church and each one that serves in them, Father, to see themselves for what they are, tools in the hands of God. Father, to count it a great privilege to be a servant of the Most High God. We pray that you be glorified in your people and this church. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.